Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Rethinking our lives. Basically, thinking in a new way, trying to refresh our minds with the perspective of God, trying to think like Him. That is always transformative. That is always something good. When we're able to think like God thinks, when we get to know God's heart and His mind, it's good. But then when we adopt His thought and we take every one of our thoughts captive to Him so that He may do the work in our minds, we change. And when we rethink and when we change, that's called what? Thank you. I appreciate that, because I was about to start the series all over again. Repentance, right? Repenting, a change of mind, right? And today I want to talk about a subject that maybe you think, what? But I'm not worried about that. But talk about traumatic events in our lives, recovering from trauma or traumatic events or experiences in our lives. And we're not talking about trauma that's caused by a hurricane or anything else. We're talking about trauma that someone has inflicted upon us because of evil. But I'm going to get more specific about that in a second. But this is something very important, because we all go through trauma. We all have our moments in which we are stupefied and we just don't know what to do. And we're just dumbfounded and we're just like, what? How could they do that to me? How could that have happened to me? How could they? Oh, my goodness. Right. And we just don't know what to do and how to handle that. And that's something we need to do. But let's start by defining what trauma is. I found a quick definition here that I want to share with you. Trauma is an experience of feeling either overwhelmed, helpless, or paralyzed. It's an experience of what? Check this out. Feeling what? Overwhelmed, helpless, or paralyzed. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever felt paralyzed? Have you ever felt helpless? I think we all have our moments of despair. But let me tell you something. We're not exempt, right? And we know that. Maybe up until this point you say, well, thank God I've had trauma, but it hasn't been that bad. Well, you need to be ready, because anything at any given moment can happen, and trauma can hit you and without you even knowing it, right? And it comes from different places, but I want to talk about specifically when evil has been done to us. Okay, now I want you to understand that whenever we have experienced any abuse or abandonment, mistreatment or insults, betrayal, rejection, all that kind of stuff that we just don't like. And obviously we have other type of traumatic events, like, you know, accidents and death of loved ones and things like that that we experience that bring a lot of distress into our lives. People who go through divorces, victims of crimes, all of these things are very difficult to handle. So you have to think about these things, because we're not exempt. But like I said, we're not talking about natural events or something that just, you know, we're talking about evil. When evil comes after you, when somebody with evil intent or something evil happens in your life, and what are you going to do then? Because we all want justice when something's been done to us, right? We all want, like, well, I want to get you back. Or somebody's going to get you back. Well, God's going to get you back. And because it's been so hard and it's difficult. But how do we deal with that too? And we think about this. Well, why do people do evil things? Why is there evil in the world? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? Why is there so much evil? Have you ever had anybody ask you, well, you're a Christian, you say you believe in God, you say you this and that, well, how come God allows all this madness that's going on in the world? How come God allows evil? Have you ever been asked that question? And how did you answer? Come to church on Sunday, maybe the pastor will talk about that, right? No, right? Why? Why? And what are the answers to this? How do I tell people, if He is such a powerful God and such an amazing and awesome God, and He's a creator of all, that He can create anything with one word, why doesn't He say, stop evil? Boom, that's it. No more evil in the world, ever. He could have done that from the beginning. Do you believe He can do that? I believe He can. He just won't. And I'm going to give you a couple of answers to that in a second here. But God could wipe out evil just like that. But first we have to know what evil is, right? So what is evil then? Evil is anything that opposes God. Think about that. It's just the simplest definition I can give evil. Anything that opposes God or rebels against God or disobeys or rejects God or ignores God. Anything against God, anything whatsoever, anything is evil. Is the opposite to God, then that's evil. God is good and evil is the opposite of God, which is not good, which is evil, right? And how then? Let me ask you something. Have you ever made evil choices? Yeah, I have evil choices. Wow, that sounds pretty evil. Well, it is evil. We have made evil choices. People do that. We have made choices to go against the character of God. We have made choices to go against what the truth of God. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty. You too, I know. But then, if evil is anything that goes against God, then how does God deal with it? Well, he's going to deal with it. If you read the Bible at the end of the story, he's created a place called what? Hell. And he's going to send the devil and all the demons and those who oppose him down there. That's the ultimate justice. That's the ultimate plan of God to deal with evil. At the end of it all, you'll be judged and that's it. Either you're up or you're down, right? So why doesn't he do that right now? Why does he fix it right now? I want you to think about that because I don't know if I want God to do that just like that. I mean, number one, let me give you the first point there so that we can start. Evil is a downside of our free choices. Bam. That's why evil happens. That's what you got to tell people when people ask you, how come there's evil in the world if God is such a loving God? Well, it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's my choice. It's human choice. That's what makes evil in this world. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? People think, Satan is the one that makes evil. Oh, yeah, he does his part, but guess what? You do yours and I do mine. When we make bad choices and bad decisions, we have the freedom of choice. And since we have that freedom, there is a downside to that freedom. And it's that what? We make bad decisions. We unfortunately do not choose the right thing that goes with God, but the opposite of God. Sometimes, most of the time, or all the time, depending on who you are and what you do. You see, everything would always be good if there was no choice. Can you think about a world like that where you wouldn't have a single choice? You see, what happens is if you have no choice, then you'd be like a puppet, right? A godly puppet, God's puppet or marionette. You'd be tied by the strings and you'd be doing whatever God says, period. You wouldn't have a choice in this world. But of course, you wouldn't do anything unkind. You wouldn't do anything cruel. You wouldn't do anything selfish. You wouldn't do anything hurtful. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. But the thing is, you would have no choice. It's very simple. If God takes away your choices, done. Evil is done. Have you ever thought about that? I didn't think about that. If God took away my choices, then I'd do what he wants me to do. Then I would be made, or I will do what he does or what he says. I have no choice. You see, but God wanted you and I to have a choice. Why? Because we know that God created you to what? To love who? You, right? God created you to love you. That was his choice. He said, my choice is I want children. So I'm going to make a bunch of children. I'm going to love them. I'm going to show them what love is. I'm going to show them who I am because I am love. But then I want them to love me back. Any parent here feels like that? You want your children to love you back, right? Of course you do. That's the feeling of God right there. God made you to love you, but he wants you to love him back. He wants you to love him back. So here we go. Have you ever been made or obligated to love someone? Can you think of being in a relation where you have to love someone, period? Well, I always joke around with people, right? And I tell them, you see, God tells me to love you, Joshua. I have to love you, but I don't have to like you, right? Just because I love you doesn't mean I have to like you. You know, I joke around like that, but you know what? I have a choice if I want to love you or not. You have a choice. Now, we've been commanded, but yet the commandment doesn't mean that you're going to do it automatically, right? Because right now there might be somebody you're not loving on in your life. But it's a commandment. But it's your choice to either fulfill the commandment or not. So you're not forced. You have a choice. Love has to be voluntary. Love has to come from a sincere desire towards a person, right? You can't make somebody love you. You can't just make somebody love anyone or anything like that. So God could easily get rid of evil. How? He'll just take away yours and mine, our choices. But he has chosen to give you and I freedom. You see, God is giving you the choice. I command you to love me and I command you to love others. But you have the choice. You could either love me or hate me. You could either accept me or reject me. You could either obey me or disobey me. You could either like me or dislike me. You could either trust me or distrust me. You know what I mean? So we have a choice. And that's the reason why there's evil in the world. So the next time somebody asks you, why is there so much evil in this world? Tell them, because it's your fault. And mine too. So don't, you know, just take it easy. Because of our choices. It's us. We make bad choices. Now check it out. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin. One man. Who was that man? Adam. Oh, yeah. Women always yell that out really, really loud because they don't want to hear Eve, right? But Adam, you see, I know that there are some verses that say, well, the woman sinned first, or the woman was the one that gave Adam the fruit. But it says Adam. He is the original. He is the original. See, Eve came from Adam, but Adam was the first and the original. He sinned, so sin comes from Adam. So God says, you know what? You can't blame it on Eve. You were the original and you messed it up anyway. It comes from you, from the get-go, from the beginning, from the bottom, because he's not at the top. Jesus is at the top. Adam is at the bottom, right? But through one man, and that was Adam. Adam could have just lived forever in the garden. Can you think about that? If he wouldn't have sinned, he would have lived in the garden forever. Forever. No sin. No work, pretty much. No sweat. All the work would be easy. No sweat. No pain. No tears. Joy, fulfillment, happiness, peace, love, you name it. It would have been like that. But then what happens? Adam sinned, and what happened to the garden? It got tainted because now Adam's heart is tainted and Eve's heart is tainted. Now there's sin. Now there's decay. So God said, now you will surely die. You know why? Because if not, they would have to live forever if Adam and Eve would have sinned. And God would have not said, now you will surely die. They would have still lived forever. They would still be living and they would still be in pain. And they would still be in sorrow. They would still be in shame. They would still be in guilt. Can you think about that? Adam and Eve would have lived forever, and humanity, whoever was born after Adam and Eve, we would have to live in this decaying world forever if God would have not created death. Now, looking at it from our human perspective, we kind of short-sighted. So we think, I wouldn't mind staying alive forever. I don't want to die in this world. Really? You want to stay here forever? Have you heard about heaven, my friend? Wouldn't you rather go there forever? See, that's why we lose our perspective. That's why we need to rethink things. Because our sin, even in our sin, we think this is great. I don't want to die. It's like you're telling God, I don't want to go with you. I don't want to go to heaven. Well, I know I have to go with you at the end, but just leave me for the end. Let me be the last one out of here. Because we're so attached to this filth. To this earth that's decaying and sinful and evil. But we love it. We like it. And let me tell you, what I think once we get a taste of heaven and what it's like to be in God's presence, we're going to be like, how fool could I have been? What a fool. I pity the fool. Because I was foolishly thinking that that was good enough. You see, God doesn't want you to live here for eternity. I want you to think about The world. What has happened to the world? Decay, damage, debauchery, debt, disability, deceit, defeat, defiance, defilement, dehumanization. Or you think about all that. Delusion, dementia, depravity, deprivation, defiance, dictators, disunity, deportations, deportations, despotism, disloyalty, disgrace, depression, destruction, devastation, desertion, distress, disease, divorce, dysfunction. Want me to go with the D's? I love the D's. It's amazing. Distrust, disputes, destitutions, disease, disasters, desperation, and despair. That's just with one letter of the alphabet, what's going on this earth. Do you want to stay here? Do you really want to stay here? Oh, my God. That's why God brought and designed death, so that we could get out of here. But we were so dumb that we just decided to sin. So our choices, that's what happens. Number two, everything on earth is broken by evil and sin. You have broken earth. I have broken earth. We all broken earth. It's simple. It's our sin. That's why it's so messed up. So you tell people, why is there so much evil? Well, look at yourself in the mirror. Let me look into myself in the mirror. It's us. We're the ones who mess it up. Everything is broken. Our relationships are broken. Our weather is broken. The world is broken. The economy, everything, everything's broken because we messed it up. Nothing works correctly on this world forever or for a long period because sooner or later it gets broken because of sin. That's why Jesus said in this world, you'll have tribulations. You'll have a bunch of troubles. You'll have a bunch of suffering. But we want earth. We don't want heaven. At least not yet. Now, in heaven, everything is perfect. See, God could turn this like heaven. And we wish sometimes, we're like, well, God, turn this earth on heaven. Since I'm already here, you know, just turn it into heaven. Make it all perfect and nice. But no, Jesus said, don't be surprised. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the people out there who don't know God. He's talking to you and me and saying, because of the difficulties and suffering in this world, some of us will grow cold towards God. That is not good. Now look at number three. God grieves when he sees hurting. Do you believe that? God grieves. God finds it agonizing and grieving. And when you go through trials and when you have trauma in your life, sometimes we think we have trauma and then we think God does not know, God does not hear, God is not paying attention. God, my God, but God is so hurt and grieved when you go through whatever, whether it's abuse or assault or abandonment, insults, whatever happened, God grieves when he sees his children hurting and suffering. You know, some people are surprised, but God has emotions. Remember, he made you and I in his image and likeness. So we feel. And we feel because God made us like him, because he feels. He feels grief. He feels pain. He feels all that. See, God said, the word says that he gets angry. The word also says that he grieves. The word says that he gets sad. The Bible says that God laughs. Did you know that? He does all these things. He gets sorrowful. He has emotions. He is an emotional God, and he feels things when we're hurting. He grieves with us. He sees our humanity because he became human for you and me. It bothers him. It grieves him. All right, now, check this out. This is Genesis. In the time of Noah, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I want you to think about this, because you may be looking back at Genesis and says, oh my God, times were bad these days. Like it's getting better. Didn't I just read the prior verse in Matthew 24? It says that evil has increased. This is just the start. This is in Genesis, and it says, the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Continually evil. Continually evil. So when somebody asks you why there's so much evil, take them to Genesis chapter 5. I mean, chapter 6. Who's evil? Nobody wants to say I, right? But I make evil choices. That's my problem. That's the problem with this world. I think I used this song by the group called Down Here probably months and months ago. It says everybody's wondering how the world could be this way. If God is good, how could we be filled with so much pain? It's not the age-old mystery we've made it out to be. You see the problem with the world? The problem with the world is me. The problem with the world is me. It's me. It's my decisions. And he grieves. He says there. You see, and what about the shortest verse in the Bible? Where is it? John chapter 11, verse 35. What is it? Jesus wept. Why do you think he wept? He was sad. He was sad. He grieves. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9 says, in all of their affliction, he was afflicted. Who's he talking about? Himself. He is afflicted when we are afflicted. So that's important to know. So a couple of things that they're not in your outline, but if you want to write them down, God suffers with me. God suffers with me. I want you to know that. God suffers with you. He suffers with me. When you suffer, he suffers. He's not apathetic to your pain. He's not oblivious. He's not ignoring your pain or not even feeling it. He feels it and he pays attention. He pays mind to your pain. I want you to think about that, because it's the greatest example we see of God grieving is when his own son came to earth and suffered all the evil that you could think about for you and me. He was innocent, but he was tortured. He was abused. He was humiliated. He was murdered. That was evil. And what did God do? God, oh my God, he grieved. Jesus grieved. Look at Psalm 56:8. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle, and are they not in your book? I want you to pay close attention to this, because he says, you know, my wanderings. Whose wanderings? Mine. When I go astray, when I do this, when I do that. And I know you keep count of that. God, you're watching me. You know everything that I do, wherever I go, whatever happens to me. But then, you see, when I am astray, that things happen. And what does that happen? What happens that I cry? And it says, put my tears in your bottle. Oh, my God. I want you to think, the word there, bottle, is like a flask. Okay? And he's saying, you know, you take my tears. You take my tears. May my tears be overtaken by you. Put them in a bottle. Are they not all in your book? Don't you keep count of them? He counts every single tear you go through. Every single tear you shed. God counts them. He knows every single tear in your life. So when you're going through trauma, you can always rest assured that God is keeping count, and he knows. God always knows. And not only that, God pays attention to the details of your pain. A lot of times, yeah, God knows my pain, but does he know what I'm going through right now? Yes, he does, and he pays attention. Remember, we serve a God who suffered himself. I read about a pastor that a lady came over, and let me tell you, I've been asked questions at hospitals and funeral homes as a pastor that sometimes I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to answer. But some lady came to her pastor and said, Pastor, I want you to tell me, where was God when my son died? You know what he answered? The day your son died, God was at the same place than when his son died for you and me. Now, of course, the lady might have gone like, I didn't ask you that. Gotten all angry and all upset. But the truth is the truth. You see, God was weeping. He was grieving as his son made man came to the lowest point and was murdered on a cross. He was grieving. And God says, I suffer with you. I grieve with you. I pay attention to every detail of your suffering. Okay? Now let's go to point number 4. God will judge everyone justly one day. You can rest assured that sooner or later, God is going to judge sin and evil. And let me tell you something. I want you to know this. As Christians, as children of God, we will not escape God's judgment. Just like that. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge me. The difference is that we have a lawyer on our side whose name is Jesus Christ on our defense. But you will go through God's judgment. We always thinking God's going to judge the evil. God's going to judge the heathen, the ones that are not Christians. They're going to hell. But you know what? He's not just going to send them to hell and look at yourself. Oh, you're so cute. Come on. No, he's going to be like, so what did you do, Arnold? My little child. Come here, my boy. Let's talk about what you've been doing down there. Come here, AJ. I want to have a talk with you personally because I like some things, but I don't like others. You know, and he's going to go through each and every one of us and say, what did you do with what I gave you? Don't answer. I already know. Let me tell you. And we're going to be judged, too, in that sense for our deeds and for our works. Now, he's not going to send us to hell, but you know what? That's going to be pretty exciting. Or, oh, my God, I better get it right. But just like he's writing everything in a book, and he knows it. Come on, people. We need to know that God will. He won't come after us, but he will have us and have a sit-down talk with us sooner or later. God is going to judge. God cares about justice. God is loving, but God is also just. He cannot quit being righteous and just because he's loving. He is both, and he's going to deal with both. With us, there'll be a day of justice. There'll be a day of reckoning for you and me and for everyone who's lived on this earth. But the Bible says that we need to be mindful of that. And not only that, you know what? The Bible says that what a horrible, what a fearful thing it is to fall in the hands of the living God because of his justice. So remember that. Now, Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once and after this come judgment. Guess what? How many times are you going to live? Once. You're not going to be living in India in your next life or in Paris the next life or in Brazil the next life. You're going to die and you're done. You're gone. It's enough. We've had enough of you and me. We're done. One life. One life. You're not going to live many lives. You're not a cat, and they don't do that either, I think. Simple. You will surely live once, and then you will what? Die. And then what? Judgment. That's for every single human being. It is appointed. You see, I want you to think about that. And this really hits me. This is one appointment you cannot be late for. This is one appointment you can't cancel. This is one appointment that you can't change. This is one appointment you won't miss. You will die and you will be judged. Period. Amen. Excitement, right? When you said that, amen. Amen. Yeah. I will be judged. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Now, I want you to think about that because it's important. Sometimes we think and we believe the lie that we're getting away with some secret sin, but we're not. We're not getting away. Now, I want you to look at this other verse here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes, to the eyes of him whom we have to do. You see? With whom we have to do. We have to face him. We have no choice. God will judge you and me. God, see, that's why we need salvation. That's why we need Jesus. Because I'd rather face God with Jesus on my side than to face God knowing that Jesus is on his side. You get that? When you face judgment before God as a human being, you could either have Jesus as your lawyer or Jesus as your accuser on the other side. Well, what do they call that? I can't remember. I know in Spanish, fiscal, but what's the title of the other one? You have a lawyer? Prosecutor. Thank you. Thank you. See? He'll either prosecute you or he'll defend you. It's your choice. When you trust him, he will be your lawyer. When you don't, you'll be prosecuted by he himself, the Almighty. That's why, you see, that's what's evil about trauma, when people go through evil in this world, because we have no choice. No, we have a choice. If we didn't have a choice, then it probably wouldn't happen. So the downside, the problem is with evil is that the reason it happens is because we have choices. And everything on earth is broken because of our sin. Not just because of sin and evil, but because of our sin and evil. God grieves, and he's going to judge everyone. But number five, God can bring good out of bad if you trust him. I think we talked about that last week. plenty, but just as a little thing here, you see, how many of you are good making good out of good? Hey, I could do that. That's easy. I actually can make something bad out of something good. I can do that too. I'm versatile. But God can make good out of something bad. And I want you to know that and keep that in your mind at always. God is a specialist when it comes to making something good out of something bad. Somebody once said, God is an expert making resurrections out of crucifixions. Isn't that something? God is an expert at making resurrections out of crucifixions. There you go. And Jesus was crucified, the worst evil that could ever happen in the history of mankind. Yet God used that for something not just good but great, which is to bring you and I to faith in him. Romans 8:28, once again, we're reviewing some of the stuff we've seen already. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Basically, he's saying, I will use everything and anything to do something good with your life, to bring a good purpose and end in your life. Even if it's evil, even if it's been done against you, even if it's a trauma, I can use that too. And only he can do that. So why do I have to do that when I'm facing the traumas of my life? Number one, accept help and support from others. Accept the help. You know, there's no greater problem when it comes to helping people is when they don't want your help. Don't you love it? They're like, I know I need help, but... And they get that but in there, right? Yeah, I know I need help, but now forget it. You know, if you need help, if I need help and I'm not willing to accept it, then I am not going to get the help, right? And we have to understand that any trauma in life, recovery is not instantaneous. It's not like that. It takes time. It's not an overnight thing. You can't rush through a recovery when you go through some traumatic event, and you've been probably sitting there going like, I haven't been through a traumatic event. Well, get ready. I don't want to be a prophet and tell you you will, but someday you will. We all go through traumatic events in life. But it takes a long time to recover. We can't just recover just like that. You have to go deep with God in order to recover from any trauma in life. In all your difficulties, you don't have to go fast. You have to go deep. And that's the problem. We want to go fast, but we don't want to go deep. So you need to accept other people and their help and accept what God brings around you to help you. We were made to need companionship in each other. You see that in creation when Adam goes and he sees all the animals. He names everything and all the animals. And then he says, whoa, there's none for me. Nobody like me. There's like two of each kind where I see boy and girl, boy and girl, boy and girl, boy and girl, boy. No girl. What happened? See, and God said it is not good for him to be alone. Well, he has me, but I'll make somebody else like him. Right? And we need each other. We need people around us. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:4. This is God, the God who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, God comforts you. God helps you so that you can what? Help others. Not so that you can help yourself. You see that? God expects you, just as you have been forgiven, forgive others. Just as I have comforted you, you comfort others. Just as I have helped you, you help others. That's why he says, rejoice with the ones who rejoice and grieve with those who grieve. You see, you have to share and you have to go out there and help others. Now, what does that imply? That people are going to go through pain and difficulties. It's simple. He doesn't say it like that, but he's saying you're going to need comfort. And if you're going to need comfort, that means that you're going to go through some traumatic events in life. You're going to be going through difficulties. But we need then, if you've been through something, then you can help somebody who's going through that something. We need to help each other. They need to get our help. We need to help them. Or maybe we need to help from somebody who's been through something, to gain some wisdom and to help us to come out and be healed. Now, Galatians 6:2, once again, some of this is review from what we've said. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love other people. Love on them. That's why you need someone by your side. That's why you need good friends. That's why you need family. Because when you go through the difficulties of life, you're going to need someone, right, to stand by you. That's why the spiritual family is here. Number two, another thing you can do is focus on what's true, not on what you feel. Because a lot of times we get so focused on what we feel that we believe what we feel reveals a truth, which is only revealing a lie. Let me explain that. You see, sometimes you may feel sad because you've made a bad decision, or you may feel like, oh my goodness, I messed up. I said something I shouldn't have said. And immediately you feel compelled, or you feel so overwhelmed, and you're like, oh my God, I feel sad. I feel so bad. I feel so unworthy. That must be because I'm not good enough. There you go. You see how that emotion immediately transferred to your mind and said, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Is that true? No, it's a lie. It's a lie. So you just believe the lie based on how you felt. And that's what we need to be careful with. You can't focus on what you feel. You got to focus on what's true. Yeah, I feel sad. I made a bad decision. But I know I'm better than that. God made me for good deeds. God made me for something good. And God can redeem this. And God can help me. I can ask for forgiveness. I can be forgiven. Even though I feel right now so sad, I can focus on the truth in this. God loves me no matter what I do, because he loves me for who I am and not because of what I do, because he knows I fail. And you start telling yourself some truth until your feelings start coming in line with that truth instead of believing the lies. You see, when people go through traumatic events, something happens to their emotions. The impact on our emotions is so hard that they get distorted. We start feeling things that just are weird, and we just go to the deepest of the pits. And not only that, sometimes we just get numb, right? Some people go through some trauma and they become numb. They're just like, you talk to them and no response, or you tell them anything or they can't do anything. They get paralyzed. You stop feeling, and it's just not good. Your emotions get distorted, and you start believing lies. So be careful. You focus on the truth. Don't focus on the feelings. Look at 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, chapter 1. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. You see, that's called trauma right there. When I've been burdened beyond my strength, it's something that I just can't handle myself. So that we despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. You know, we considered ourselves death. Dead. We were like, we're dead. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like it's not even worth living anymore? Have you ever felt like, oh my God, this is like death. This has got to be like death because I can't handle this. This is way too much. That's what I'm talking about. And you see, but of course, if you keep reading in those verses, then Paul says, but our hope is in God, who can resurrect us, who can bring us back to life, because he is the God of resurrection. There is hope, right? So sometimes we get to the point that we blame ourselves. We blame ourselves, even when the fault is not ours. Because remember, I told you, I'm talking about when evil attacks you, when somebody else inflicts pain upon you, when your trauma is because of somebody else's fault. It is not your fault. Now, of course, you do get yourself into traumas yourself. Nobody has to take you there, right? But I'm not talking about that type of trauma. Remember, from the beginning, I qualified this. And I said, we're talking about when somebody does wrong to you. But the problem is that even in relationships, when relationships become abusive and stuff, what happens? A lot of times the abuse says, I deserve it. If only I should have, I could have, I would have, but I'm stuck. This is the cards that I was dealt. This is what I need to go through. You know, and what? Really? Does anybody deserve to be abused? No. If anybody deserves to be abused or anything, you let God handle that. Not somebody else. Anyway, I deserve this. I'm a bad person. That's why this happens to me. I'm no good. There's something really, 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 really wrong with me. Even though the other person is acting evil. We shouldn't do that. Those are lies. And that's what I was talking about. Because we feel the pain, then we just simply believe the lies. And that's not fair. You have to believe the truth. You have to look for truth when you're down and out. That's why in John chapter 8, verse 32 says that the truth will what? Set you free. It will set you free. You need God's point of view. You need God's word. And let me tell you something. You know, the only thing that is actually eternal and truth is God's word. The only thing on this earth that is actually true and eternal is God's words itself. And God wants to restore you. God wants to restore you and me. See, the trauma is not my fault. You have to get the truth in there. Trauma is not a failure on my part. It's not me. It is not my identity. It's not my future. I have to think that way. I have to embrace that. That is the truth. I may go through trauma, but my name is not trauma. I'm not trauma walking on the face of the earth. I'm a child of God. I'm a spiritual being made in the image of the Creator. And He is a sustainer of the universe. I am saved by His grace, loved by God in spite of my sin. I am completely forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ who died for me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit of the living who dwells in me and wants to live through me. Nothing can touch my life unless God gives permission. I am the child of the eternal King of glory who welcomes me in His presence any day, any time. I am His child. I am His treasure. I am His masterpiece. And He knows me by name. And I am on my way to heaven in His house with joy, where I will be with Him forever and evermore. That's who I am. I'm not just an accident. Even our parents could have had an accident when they had us. But you are not an accident in the sight of God. He made you to love you, period. No matter what happens in your life, that doesn't give you your identity. Trauma is not your future. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. Don't allow that in your life. Somebody said this. I like this quote. My unknown future is in the hands of the all-knowing God. My unknown future is in the hands of the all-knowing God. He knows it all. My future is in Him. See, faith is not believing the things that you see and that you know for sure that are there because you see them. No, it's not about anything else but the one who holds the future, God Himself. I don't have to know the future. All I know is have to know the one who knows the future. Amen? Don't you think about that. Number three, waste no energy on revenge. Learn to forgive. You know, it's so difficult to forgive sometimes. You know, if you ever struggle with forgiving others, hey, we need to pray about that. Don't waste your energy. You know, wasting energy on revenge, that's not good. Because trauma or anything that comes at you will deplete your energy. And probably it drains you so much that you don't have any strength to fight back. So why even fight? Use that strength to be resilient and to bounce back, not to hit back. You can't afford to waste your energy when you're going through trials. You need the energy to recover yourself, not to waste the other person. So I want you to get that in your mind. We've got to decide, remember? You either get bitter or you get better. That's simple. So where am I going to put my energy? On recovery, on myself. And actually, the first thing that needs to happen is forgiveness. And that's one hard thing to say. That's one hard thing to do. Well, what about justice? Well, you allow God to do that. That's His role. It's not your role to be like a vigilante out there, right? And just trying to make justice for everyone and for yourself. It is God's role to administer justice. Actually, you know what? If you read Romans chapter 13, God gave government the authority to exercise justice and Himself. You don't have it. Government and God has it. And if you don't believe me, read chapter 13 of Romans. But let's go to Romans 12, 19. It says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now be careful, right? You got to do this with the right motive. Because you can't be like, ha ha, God's going to get you. Yeah, I can't wait for God to stomp on you. Wow. No, that's not what I, you see, you leave room, you leave that up to God, you let God, but don't get in there like that. Lamentations 2:19 says, arise, cry aloud in the night at the beginning of the night watches. I want you, well, you see, is at night, it's usually when it haunts you, right? When you're going through trouble. I don't know about you, but when you're going through some trauma, some trouble, some difficulties, it's like you go to bed and you can't sleep, right? And you start rehashing all those thoughts and you just start racing and stuff. I talk to myself almost every night because every night I have something when I go to bed. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got to get this thing done. I got to go there. I got to do that. And you know what I tell myself? I have to. Honestly, I do. I tell myself, David, right now, the only thing you can do is breathe and sleep, because you're not going to go meet with someone right now. You're not going to go do this work right now. You're not going to solve this problem right now. Right now, you just need to close your eyes and breathe. I have to tell myself, and then I start, no, again, anybody fight with themselves when they go to bed like that? Oh, my God, you sleep like babies now, right? Yeah. You know how long it takes me to fall asleep when I go to bed, when I actually go to bed? No more than 3 minutes. Now, those 3 minutes are a fight. But it doesn't take me long. But I have to fight it. And the Bible says, cry out to God. Cry out to God in the middle of the night. You know, don't allow the anger and the bitterness to dwell within you. Just remember, learn to forgive. Forgiveness actually needs to be learned because it's not natural for us definitely to forgive. It's not natural because we have this nature, sinful nature. And forgiveness does not happen necessarily that fast either. It takes work. And you have to be careful when you're dealing with people who have been traumatized or hurt by somebody deeply. You can't just go to them, oh, you know what you need to do? You just need to forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Remember the two F's. Forgive and forget it. Right? No. One of the things that I like to use a lot with people when we're in my office and talking about these type of things and traumas and difficulties, I have a couple of rear view mirrors that I keep in my office. And every time we're talking about stuff like this, I roll over to the side. I grab my mirrors and I give them to the person there. And I say, grab that mirror. I want you to pretend you're driving. And I want you to just drive. Think about a great place you're going to. And now, what is this for? Well, it's a rear view mirror. Duh. Yeah. What do you use it for? Well, look behind. And why? Because somebody might come from behind and you want to make sure your lanes and everything, you're clear. Okay, good. But what happens to the stuff that's on the mirror? The stuff that you see in the mirror? Well, it disappears. Yes, it does. But how does it do it? It gradually turns smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And all of a sudden, it disappears from your mirror. Now, let me ask you something. Is it there? Yeah. It's still there, but it's not there. You can't see it. You put it out of sight, right? And out of mind. Now, that doesn't mean that the stuff didn't happen. It's way back over there where you don't give it priority. Because what happens when you're driving? If you fix yourself on your rear mirror, you're going to have what? An accident forward. You want to concentrate on looking forward. Use your mirrors when you need them, right? Isn't that what they taught you when you went to driving school? Man, I'm telling you. And you only use the mirrors as needed. And the stuff that's in the mirror may have not disappeared in reality. But in your mind, it can disappear. And it may take a while. Forgiving is not forgetting. But forgiving may take a little while. But you just can't tie yourself up to all the bitterness and the resentment. Because when you keep the bitterness and resentment, then you become weaker Forgiveness gives you freedom, all right? Now let's finish this thing up. Hope and trust God for the strength to recover. There is hope. There is hope in Christ Jesus. He's the one that gives you the strength to recover. You want to move forward? You want to move forward? You want to move with Jesus. You got to have faith in him. You got to have faith in yourself and others that you can make it through. God will help you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, very famous verse. It says that God has a plan. God has a future for you and for me, he says, and plans of welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You can have a future and a hope. You just need to trust Christ. Actually, if you look at the Bible, you can find 32 times in the Bible, it says that God will restore you. God will restore you. You know what that means? Can I say it 32 times to you right now? God will restore. No, I'm just not going to do that. 32 times. You know why? Because he wants you to be convicted. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to know that he can and he will restore you from any trauma in life if you just simply trust him. Now, let me give you the last passage so we can get out of here. Job. Or Yob. I don't know. It's Job, okay? Job chapter 11, verses 13 through 19. I'm just going to give you part of it and we'll get there. Give your whole heart to God and hold out your hands for him to help. Then you will lift up your face without shame and you will stand firm without fear. Then all the troubles would fade from your memory like water under the bridge. Now, this sounds pretty clear and pretty nice. This is, I can't remember what version. It's a combination of versions or translations of the Bible. It's not the normal one that I use because I was looking for something that would communicate in our language that would be so easy to understand. And look at the second part. It says, your life will be brighter than sunshine at noon, and life's darkest hours will shine like the dawn. You will live secure and full of hope. God will protect you and give you rest. You won't be afraid of your enemies. In fact, many people will ask for your help. Wow, that sounds pretty neat. I'm going to be so restored that people are going to come to me and say, how did you do that? I need that in my life. See, sin is going to really mess us all up, and it messes everybody up. But there is hope in your Creator. There is hope in God. I want you to understand that he is grieving when you are afflicted. He suffers with you. He grieves with you. He is by your side, even when you don't feel him. But you cannot just believe everything you feel, because the truth will make you or set you free. He is mindful of your pain. He's listening, and he's going to judge whomever has hurt you. But you have to accept his help. So, see what it says there? Starting with verse 11. Bring your heart to God. Lift your hand to him for help. That's what we need to do.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.